So that time of the week where we get to chat to the daily, one of the Daily Telegraph's best, Dean Bulldog Richie. And as we've been pumping your tyres the last 2 days, mate, because you've had the back page full spread both today. You had Val Holmes yesterday, and you're sticking with the American theme again, New York.
Well, that, good morning. How are we?
Good morning. The other journo's on holidays, are they, Dean?
No, it's just
two
what
back
I do,
page
Laurie.
Stories in
it's
a row.
It's what I do, mate. It's what they pay me for.
Well, tell us a little bit about this story that you have on the back page. We're off to New York, are we?
Yeah, it's a fascinating story. They've got all their ducks in a row at the moment, Laurie. They've got the money. They've got a consortium. They've got a home ground. They've got their sponsors. And they think that by Christmas, the RFL, which is in England, will formally approve New York logo and nickname to still be announced as a team that will come in 2021, which gives them 1 year.
Into the third tier league.
No definitive answer just yet, Laurie, but given what they did with Toronto and Toulouse, it would be into League One. League One, obviously, the budget for New York would be incredibly high compared to the others. So you would imagine that they'd go through that fairly well into the championship. And from there, they're hoping within 3 years, like Toronto did, they would be in Super League. So this is not a pie in the sky anymore.
Right.
This is real. It's happening. And it's going to change the face of rugby league for a lot of players in Australia.
I can only imagine if it gets off the ground, plenty of people will want to be interested in going over there and playing and spending some time in New York. My question is, who's funding it and where or why has all this come about? And how successful can it be? I mean, you're over in New York and the competition's over there in England.
Well, there's a consortium of businessmen, Laurie, who I understand are English and American, so the money's not a problem. They've already organised for Hilton and Virgin Atlantic to organise travel packages, e.g. accommodation flights. So they've got that sorted out. They're going to play out of Red Bull Stadium, which is in Harrison, New Jersey, which is where the Red Bull soccer team play. So everything's in order. They're basing it on Toronto, Laurie. Toronto came in as an outpost and have gone exceptionally well. They want to copy that.
Am I led to believe that they're willing to pay a lot of money for some of our players to go over there and play?
What they said to me yesterday was that, look, if they're in League One, quite clearly they're not going to go and offer $1 million to a marquee player. The division's too low, and an elite player would get bored, for want of a better term, playing in a third division. But when they get higher and higher, and once they get into Super League, they claim that they would have at least $1 million to spend per season on a marquee player, a face of the franchise. So when they go to England, this mob will attract crowds. And as I said, at the moment, they're going to look at players toward the end of their careers. A few names in the paper today. I mentioned the Morris brothers, maybe a Darius Boyd, Kieran Foran, Benji Marshall, someone in that ilk who is a big name and would want the experience. But Ricky Wilby, the CEO, said to me, quote unquote, it has been ridiculous the amount of inquiries we've had from officials and players to go and play in New York.
I think it'd be exciting. I think to start up something like that, to see where it would end up, would be a challenge. And obviously they've got some high hopes.
Would you coach there?
Well, my only issue would be whether they could sustain it for long term, because I would assume the cost involved would be enormous. And like everyone, it's exciting and fun to start with, but when you've got to continually put your hand in your pocket and fork out, how long does that last for?
I know Toronto, Laurie, they basically did it in blocks. They would go away for 2 to 3 weeks at a time. So it wasn't travelling across the Atlantic every week. They'd go and stay there. Look, the boss of Virgin and the boss of Hilton, their partners, attended the Super League Grand Final in England. Love what they saw. They love the whole...
So they're league people that have moved to New York, have they?
No, the two bosses of Virgin and Hilton weren't. They're Americans who want to jump on board. They see this as an exciting new concept, and they want to get involved. Right. Look, clearly it's not going to be a massive game in America. Let's not kid ourselves. We've got baseball, basketball, and the NFL. but you think of the extraordinarily large American market. You'd only need 1% as an option, a viable option on the side, to make it work.
Yeah. Okay. Sticking in New York, what about Val Holmes? So yesterday we had that story that the Cowboys are lurking. He was having the dinner or the lunch. I think it was dinner with Paul Green. Is he going to come back and play for the Cowboys?
Look, Dave, I can't answer that. I wish I could come on here and give you a categoric answer. Look, the mail is getting stronger around rugby league that he will come back.
Yep.
And that he has signed a 3-year deal with the Cowboys. Paul Green is going to New York and will meet with Val and go to the New York Jets franchise to have a poke around to see what he can do. Green is in America anyway, in Boston. He goes across every year for the last 2 years for a professional development course, which the Cowboys pay for. So Greeny's trying to obviously reinvent himself as well. Look, Val Holmes is the only one who's got the answer. He's repeatedly claimed he wants to give this a go, but when you're on the practice squad for another year, there's no doubt he's getting homesick, and there's no doubt there's no light at the end of the tunnel just yet. There's not even a guarantee next year he'll make that 53-man squad, albeit the Jets are poor and they got flogged 33-0 yesterday.
And the longer that he stays out of rugby league, I would think the harder it would be for him to transfer back into the game, because it takes time to obviously retrain your body and get your body shape in order. And to be sitting over there in the prime of your career and not be playing, I reckon that'd be hard as a sportsman, because all you want to do is be out there playing.
Well, it's a funny situation. I look at it this way, Laurie. They signed him to a $1 million deal, but that's when Val Holmes was worth $1 million as a rugby league player. If he was to come back after a year or so in America, and he's already done a year, is he now worth $1 million? Or does he come under the category of great player, but is some form of a risk given his body shape has changed and he hasn't played our game for a year at this point, and there's more to come?
Well, we were talking about that earlier, about players and their worth, and the question came up about David Fifita. Would you pay David Fifita $1 million if he was coming to your football club, or if you were a fan of whatever club? And we've had mixed response. Laurie sort of said, oh, I don't know if he's worth $1 million.
I couldn't pay him $1 million because I'd be unsure of what I'm going to get consistently week in, week out. And for me, I reckon you need to start with your key decision makers in your football team.
You're paying on potential, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. Like Tedesco, you trust he's going to deliver for you every week. Your Cronks, your Cameron Smiths, these type of players. Fifita's got so much potential, and eventually he may be worth $1 million. Yep. He might be worth more, but at the moment, he's not a $1 million player in my eyes. But I think he's a superstar potential, got plenty of it. But I don't know whether I could give him $1 million.
On Teddy, what about a Teddy when he came from the Tigers, West Tigers?
Yeah, well, you knew.
So you just knew.
Well, he was
established.
He was an established player. State of Origin level.
Yeah.
He was a star at club level.
Whereas a Fifita or those other players, and there's a big articles about it.
But he's giving us glimpses, and I think it was exaggerated a lot more over the weekend because he starred in the nines. But nines is different to 13s.
Yep.
Look, those other players you mentioned, Laurie, they're seasoned performers every week, where this young kid you're buying on potential, you can take that risk and it might pay off, but you're also having a enormous risk financially. Yep. Some risks are $500,000, $600,000 for a kid. Yep. This is a $1 million risk. This could totally...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jack Bird is on close to $1 million with the Brisbane Broncos, and you know, they're paying him on potential, but then got a few injuries and hasn't quite fitted into the system up there with the Broncos. So there's always a risk, but I'd prefer to buy the established guy
that is
22, 23, that has delivered for a year or two, and you know what you're going to get, rather than buying on that potential.
So can I ask you both a question? Would you pay Val Holmes $1 million if you're the Cowboys?
I wouldn't at this point in time. I couldn't outlay that kind of money for a bloke that hasn't played rugby league now for 1 year and counting.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same with Bulldog. I think I would, you know, 750, 800.
With maybe the option
to increase. But the longer he leaves it,
yeah,
the less that I'm prepared to pay. Because if he has next year out of the game, that's 2 years.
Mm.
And you're unsure then of whether he's going to come back.
There were suggestions yesterday, Laurie, that
the same type of player.
He would come back perhaps after the Jets finish their final game, which I understand is the 29th of December against Buffalo.
Yep.
He would then come back. What that would do, though, is that he wouldn't be back till January. So it would mean the Cowboys wouldn't have to pay him because contracts start from November 1. So those 2 months, November, December, they wouldn't have to pay him. So,
so that'd say $200,000.
$166,000. Yeah. So right. that would benefit them to some degree as well financially.
Yeah. Okay. Talking of player movement, Penrith, they're going shopping, or they're trying to.
Yeah, they are, Dave. They're looking at a couple of players. Jared Waerea-Hargreaves, that's been well documented. I think he wants to stay at the Roosters, but I think we all know the list of players off at the Roosters next year. Hargreaves, Manu, Mitchell, Friend, Takiaho. One of them's going to have to go. So we don't know which one just yet, but if Jared can get a big long-term offer from Penrith,
they'd be prepared to release him straight away?
I don't know, Laurie, whether it would be straight away, but that's how it generally works in this current climate we live in. There's also a suggestion out at Penrith that there's a bit of internal chatter about Christian Welch. Of course, Melbourne Storm did his knee. State of Origin player. So quite clearly they're trying to beef up their engine room. But certainly Hargreaves will be an interesting one in that whether the Roosters or which player the Roosters will have to let go after next season.
So they have to. Just so everyone, they have to let go of someone, don't
to
they?
Remain salary cap compliant, and given obviously there's been premierships won, and there's been players playing Origin.
Yep.
They've got all these added costs into the cap, so someone's going to have to go.
Someone, okay.
What about the latest on the Sharks recruitment? And they've got to get themselves under the salary cap as well. There was a story yesterday that Matt Moylan might be on his way out and heading to the Tigers.
Yeah, I heard you talk about that, Laurie. That would be an exchange, as I understand, for Ryan Madison, potentially.
Yep.
So there could be a change down there. Now, there's also this ongoing suggestion that Josh Dugan and Matt Pryor would be permitted to leave if they could find other clubs. I'm told there is some interest in Pryor in England, but there's not a lot of interest in Dugan, not so much for his ability because of the money that he's on.
Yeah.
I thought Dugan's form toward the end of the year was quite good. And the Jesse Ramien situation is also buzzing around down there in the Shire. They think he will end up back at the Sharks. So clearly John Morris is trying to mould a new squad that's his squad, but there's still a lot of
pieces
to the jigsaw
puzzle. Have they not been able to
puzzle.
Register the contract of Jesse Ramien?
Not yet, as I understand.
So they have to release players before
someone,
they
someone, I think, has to go for Ramien to go in.
Right.
So as I said, it's a moving parts down there at the moment, but clearly the way they finished the year wasn't great, the Sharks, and I think they do need some injection in to reinvigorate the roster.
What do you guys think about the swap? If that happens, Moylan and the other bloke, is
that
no, a fair
swap? Well, Madison wouldn't go to the Sharks. He looks like he's going to
no. But what do you
Parramatta.
Think about that unfolding? That domino.
Yeah, so I think it would be. Well, I think Moylan would be a fantastic addition for the West Tigers. He gives them something that they haven't got, and that's the ability to create points. The defensively, they were strong. They were always in games, but they just didn't have that X factor. I think Moylan would provide that for the Tigers.
I'll tell you what, guys. Ryan Madison, he's on the nose at the West Tigers with the playing roster, the way he's gone about this entire situation of signing a contract, wanting out. I've spoken to a lot of people, and everyone is saying exactly the same thing, that bitterly disappointed. Mm. The club gave him a chance. They doubled his money from the Roosters.
Mm.
And even if it didn't work out in another club, I don't think he'd be welcome back.
Well, how does that go then going to another club? If you're seeing and hearing this about a bloke at a current club, then he comes to your club, how are you feeling? You know, because if he's shown that he's not going to be loyal to them...
Well, you're probably unsure.
Yeah.
You're probably unsure until you actually meet him and get to know him, and then your opinion would change depending on how you found him.
It's just
but
a silly
if
way.
If he didn't play well, you'd be asking the question, why have we paid him that money? And if he did play well, you'd be in the back of your mind thinking, well, he might want more next year, or Will he leave us to go somewhere else because all of a sudden he's gone from now $500,000 to $1 million?
Coaches don't care, I don't think, Laurie. No, they've all got the same ego. I'll be the one that'll change you.
No, coaches don't. But in the back of your mind as a player, you're talking about buying in. And if he comes in, of course you're thinking, oh, what type of bloke is he? Once you work out what type of bloke he is, you either like him or you have a strong relationship with him or you don't.
But how many rat bags have been signed over the years, Laurie?
Yeah.
Coaches don't care. If they can get him a couple of victories.
Well, that wasn't the question. The question from Dave was how would he fit into the playing group? Yeah. And I'm just saying, as a player, you're sitting back thinking, I don't know much about him. Wonder what you're only hearing what you hear and seeing what you read. And if the West Tigers players are off him, you're thinking, oh, geez, what type of bloke are we getting? Until you actually sit down with him and have a discussion with him, that's when you make up your mind about whether he fits into the group or not.
And the only reason I ask is because it looks like he goes to Parramatta. So you look at that Parramatta squad from just social media and hearing them, they're a very close-knit group.
They had their troubles too out there, Dave, in terms of a few scallywags in there. Mm. Yeah. And Brad Arthur's cleaned that out. And it's now become a tight unit, which I think went into week two or three of the finals this year. So you know, they don't want a disruptive figure coming into that club. So I think Ryan Madison will be told, yes, you can come here, but you toe the line. And if you step out of line, you know, there's a size 7 in your backside.
Bulldog, we look forward to the hat trick, mate. Back page tomorrow. We want the full page.
Yeah, I've got a big one up my sleeve.
All right, perfect. Thank you for joining us, mate. We'll see you next week.
See you, boys.